Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Michael C. Hafner, MD, PhD, who joined us to discuss basal cell carcinoma of the prostate. Dr. Hafner is an assistant professor in the Human Biology Division and an assistant professor in the Clinical Research Division at Fred Hutch Cancer Center, as well as an assistant professor of pathology at the University of Washington School of Medicine, both in Seattle. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Hafner explained distinguishing features between basal cell and adenocarcinoma of the prostate, findings from a genomic study of basal cell prostate carcinoma, and the challenges that arise when diagnosing and treating patients with this rare disease.
Dr. Hafner, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much for having me.
To start at the beginning, obviously, basal cell carcinoma of the prostate is much more rare than adenocarcinoma. What differentiates the two conditions?
Well, so adenocarcinoma, as you've mentioned, the prostate is a very common disease. When we sort of look at the prostate from a very basic standpoint, we can see that the benign prostate has two different cell types, a luminal cell layer and a basal cell layer. The basal cell layer is thought to be more the regenerative cell portion, whereas the luminal cells are the ones that produce the prostatic secretion. So they are the business end of the prostate gland, if you would like. Now, whereas most adenocarcinomas that arise in the prostate have a phenotype that looks very, very similar to a luminal cell, these very rare basal cell carcinomas maintain a lot of the features that we see in basal cells of the prostate, hence also the name basal cell carcinoma. Morphologically, they look very, very different. Under the microscope, there are very distinct features that differentiate them. Basal cell carcinomas, for instance, don't form these gland-like structures that we usually see in adenocarcinomas, and they can take up a variety of very distinct-looking morphologies that allow us, just by H&E morphology, to differentiate them from adenocarcinomas. In addition to that, from a diagnostic perspective, we can also use immunohistochemical markers for proteins that are very different in their expression between adenocarcinomas and basal cell carcinomas. So diagnostically, even though some cases might be challenging, usually it is possible to give a very definitive diagnosis for basal cell carcinoma by integrating morphology and immunohistochemistry.
You just published results from a genomic study of basal cell prostate carcinoma. So how do the two diseases differ from a genomic standpoint?
Yeah, so our question really was, since basal cell carcinoma is so extremely rare, there were no published studies in the literature detailing the genomic alterations that are present in these tumors. And that contrasts really to the extensive literature that is present on genomic alterations in adenocarcinomas of the prostate. So what we undertook is a small study by sequencing two basal cell carcinomas using a whole genome sequencing approach. And what we found was, overall, the genomes of basal cell carcinomas show relatively a small number of alterations that involves both copy number changes, structural rearrangement, as well as mutations. But the one thing that was striking to us is, A, none of the classical genomic alterations that we find in adenocarcinomas of the prostate were present in these two cases. And B, we started to see a recurrence of copy number alterations involving chromosome 16. Chromosome 16 is a chromosome that is frequently affected by copy number changes in other tumor types. This is really a differentiating factor for the genomic architecture of these tumors. So overall, again, the genomic alteration pattern between adenocarcinoma of the prostate and these rare basal cell carcinomas is very, very distinct.
Do the diseases behave differently?
They do behave differently. I mean, one of the major challenges is that we don't have a lot of data on basal cell carcinoma of the prostate because they are so rare. About 100 or so cases have been described in the literature, and the frequency is sort of estimated to be one in 240,000. So very, very rare disease. But what is really distinctly different is that the pattern of metastases in the reported cases in basal cell carcinoma really differs from adenocarcinoma. Whereas most adenocarcinomas tend to metastasize to the bone, basal cell carcinomas, when they metastasize, tend to go to other organ sites, including lung, liver, or other soft tissues. And the frequency by which metastases occur in patients with basal cell carcinoma is also relatively low. It's about 10 to 20%.
You mentioned a moment ago that you can make a definitive diagnosis between the two types of prostate cancer. So what does that entail? Does it require a genomic assay, or how do you make that distinction?
The distinction is mostly based on the morphology, how these tumors look under the microscope, and then the expression of certain proteins that allow us to differentiate these two different types of prostate cancers. And again, these proteins can be assessed by standard immunohistochemical assays. And one of the key differentiating features is that these basal cell carcinomas maintain the expression of proteins that are usually present in the basal cell compartment of benign prostate glands, and that involves high molecular weight cytokeratins, as well as other basal-like proteins such as P63.
Obviously, adenocarcinoma can be indolent. It can go untreated for years if the patient is lucky enough. Is that also true for basal cell carcinomas?
Yeah, so again, with the limited number of cases that have been reported, a large fraction of men that have basal cell carcinoma of the prostate are just treated with local therapy that can be a TURBT or a radical prostatectomy, and they remain disease-free. And as I've said before, a fraction of these men go on to develop metastases.
Is overtreatment the same concern, or is it difficult to determine because there are so few patients?
Very difficult to really understand or effect of overtreatment. Most men in the published series have been just treated with local therapy. Therefore, I think overtreatment has not been a major concern for these handful of cases.
How do these patients typically respond to treatment?
The vast majority of men do well after local therapy, but there are different flavors of these basal cell carcinomas. And what has been noted in the literature that some tumors that show a higher rate of necrosis, a higher rate of cell proliferation, tend to be more aggressive in their overall clinical behavior. And these cases are also enriched for the development of metastases. So even though the criteria are not very well established, based on morphology and very simple molecular assessment, one can risk stratify some of these cases or start to risk stratify some of these cases potentially.
So, how did you initially identify basal cell carcinomas?
We study prostate cancer biology in my laboratory, and this study was actually initiated when I was a clinical fellow with Dr. Jonathan Epstein and Johns Hopkins. And we were just generally interested in these rarer manifestations of tumors in the prostate. Basal cell carcinoma, amongst others, like small cell carcinoma, are these rare histological variants that we encounter. And again, these tumors are so rare that most general pathologists likely never see them in their clinical practice, but in large reference centers like Johns Hopkins, every once in a while, these cases are seen as part of a consultation service. And then one can really study these cases as they accumulate a little bit more thoroughly. And again, the cases that we particularly looked at in this publication were part of this larger interest in just defining the underlying molecular features of these rarer variants of prostate cancers.
So how many rare variants of prostate cancer are there?
Overall, adenocarcinoma makes up the vast majority. Then, small cell carcinoma of the prostate is another rarer variant that has a very aggressive clinical features, and this is certainly a variant that needs to be diagnosed accurately and then has completely different clinical management. Basal cell carcinoma of the prostate, another rare variant that we talked a little bit more about. And then there are sort of sub-variants of adenocarcinoma that involves adenocarcinoma with Panetta-like change that show morphologically slightly different features, but often have similar behavior like conventional adenocarcinoma.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave and at EnclaveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and Enclave State of the Science Summit, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave on Air.